Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
This episode of the Golf Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. WynnBET is now live in Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, and Arizona. From boosted parlays to in-game odds on every major sport, WynnBET has what you need to win. So go sign up today to receive a $1,000 risk-free sports bet. Download WynnBET app now or visit WynnBET.com and start winning today. And PropSwap, it's America's marketplace to buy and sell sports bets. Use promo code SGP on your first deposit to receive up to $500 in bonus cash. Head over to PropSwap.com or download the PropSwap app. And we're also brought to you by Better Fantasy. Better Fantasy is a free-to-play app that lets you bet on all of your favorite NFL player props with a chance to win awesome prizes. Download the app today over at BetterFantasy.com/SGPN. That's BetterFantasy.com/SGPN. And we're also brought to you by SoBet. Sign up to bet against your friends and join the social betting revolution at SoBet.io/SGPN. That's SoBet.io/SGPN. And of course, do not forget to download the SGPN app, your home for all of your favorite podcasts and free picks. All right, D-Gens, welcome to the show. The TOC recap, Sony Open preview, great fucking weekend. It's your boy Boston Capper with the God of Golf himself, Steve Shermer. Steve, come on, baby. Let's go. Great fucking weekend.
Hey, hold on. Can we pause the podcast real quick? I got a giant boar in the back of my car that I got to bring out for the luau. The family luau that we're going to have.
That's right.
Let's Cam go. Smith wins it.
Beautiful.
Hell yeah.
Beautiful. And it was God, a sweat. There was not an easy moment of this entire day.
No, I thought I was going to puke.
It was so bad.
Now, full disclosure, we had a couple of friends over. They're Bills fans. So we had to have the Bills game on for most of the front nine.
Against the Jets?
I know. Well, listen, your Pats technically could have won the division. But yeah,
yeah, I mean, but we suck in Miami in December.
But, our kids had to go to bed. So they left right as everybody was making the back nine. So,
and, perfect. Fine.
Yep, they were lockstep with each other. Smith had a two shot lead going into like 12. God, that was stressful though.
So stressful. Unbelievably stressful.
Well, it's been stressful ever since yesterday.
Yeah.
Because, Rahm was making a run. Cam Smith went out and bogeyed the first two. Was that Friday?
That was Friday.
No, you know what he did? He was just a par machine for like the first few. And then he got rolling. Yep. The back nine, but Rahm was just matching him, going toe to toe. That was fun. That was fun last 2 days.
Yeah, it really was. And like you said, full disclosure, I didn't watch fucking much of it last night. I watched some of the replay shit, but I was at the Bruins game last night. I watched some of the afternoon action, which apparently ESPN Plus is doing really well. I don't know if I'm just kind of dumb. I couldn't figure out how to watch anything other than two matchups, but I'll figure it out moving forward. I was also at like an Airbnb and I didn't want to put a whole bunch of effort into it. And shit, I forgot to log out. Somebody's going to get some free ESPN Plus.
There you go. All right. Well, we hope you guys followed on Cam Smith. That was really good for us.
Steve got the juiciest number too. I remember texting you whatever day it was. It was like Tuesday.
I think it was Monday.
Yeah. I was so jealous of your fucking Cam Smith number. So gross.
Well, I mean, now I'm going to be able to price shop, gambling has come to New York State. WynnBET's not here yet, but as soon as WynnBET is here, I will absolutely sign up. Yeah. But yeah, like that was one of the first bets I made. And honestly, you know how sometimes I've come on this podcast and said, like, you know, I can think about like this guy, like Ocean Trophy. Honest to God, I had an image in my head of like Cam Smith with the luau.
Oh, yeah. Perfect.
Yeah, with the lay mullet, and then like holding the whale trophy.
Yeah, it's perfect. It's a perfect image.
So like just a couple of like closing notes, like, you know, before we go in the DFS report card, and we'll take an ad break after that. But like, what'd you think about like the broadcast? Like, what'd you think about PGA Tour Live going to ESPN Plus?
So like I said, I couldn't really. So like I said, I was only watching the afternoon shit. I guess because Thursday and Friday I golfed. I played TPC Tampa on Thursday. And then a place called Heritage Isles, which is actually pretty cool. It's a spot outside of Tampa. Really fun track, man. Like, it was a fun track. They had these they had these tee boxes, man, with super intimidating. Like coming out of the chute, like I mean, like very narrow coming off the chute, and then the fairway would open up, but you could not be wild off the tee there. And I really enjoyed both rounds, but you know, I get back to the Airbnb after drinking and playing. So, you know, fall asleep, watch a little golf, then we'd end up going out to dinner and then you know, doing stuff like that. So all I didn't watch a whole bunch of the ESPN Plus stuff.
I watched plenty of it. Right off the bat, the sound quality is excellent.
Like, yeah.
You can definitely hear everything that's going on. The announcers are quiet as guys are talking to the caddies. But nice. There's some really good banter. Like, I think yesterday, they just shut up for about 90 seconds, and JT and Bones are just talking about what shot they want to hit. Like, yeah, like, you know, give me more of that.
Give me that.
It just looked like the production was a lot more cleaner. And this wasn't even the full launch of it. They only had one stream just because it's Hawaii. They couldn't get all the equipment out there. But I thought it was really good. And honestly, I kind of prefer just one stream so they just give us everything all in one. So I mean, you're going to have a main feed. You're going to have feature groups, feature holes. I'm looking forward to what ESPN Plus is going to bring to the table with this thing. I thought it was very good. And then the last thing before we take a break is – so, I mean, these guys ripped this place up.
Oh, my God.
I mean, 34 under. Did it bother you that these guys went so low, or did you just not care?
I didn't care. It was just so funny because I know I was getting out of here and bitch about Birdie Fest. But for whatever reason, I don't know. This one feels different. It always feels different. They always beat this course up. The views are awesome. Like, and I expect these guys, I don't know, whatever. And I don't know. I like this Birdie Fest versus like every other Birdie Fest. And I don't know why. And I don't have to quantify it. So fuck you. I liked it.
You know what it is for me? I think it's the tee shots, because once the ball hits the ground, you're like, all right, where's this thing
going to go?
Yeah, like, where's it going to roll to? Yeah. And I mean, look, the greens are really soft. It rained a whole bunch there. They played lift clean in place for the first 2 days.
That's
bullshit. Whatever. But no, I love Kapalua. I don't care if they rip this place up.
No.
I just think it's a great opening tournament to the year. I very much enjoyed watching it. I loved all the whale coverage. The only thing I didn't like was stupid Noah Begay every 30 minutes reminding us with his leveler just how undulated
the fair. Oh my God. I know. That was annoying.
I don't need to see that anymore.
How many times today were you rooting for Rahm's ball to get in one of those divots it got so close to? I was like, get in a divot.
Times.
Oh my times. God.
Like, I did maybe shout, get in the bunker when he hit it on in the bunker on 12. And if JT was sitting next to me, he would have kicked me off the golf course for that. So. All right. Why don't we take a break, and then we'll go through the field about, and we'll talk about some other guys of note.
All right, sounds good. Well, listen, if you guys are ready to win money and boost your odds, WynnBET is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, Jersey, Tennessee, and Virginia. We're bringing the excitement of Wynn Las Vegas to online sports betting and casino play. Exclusive rewards are right at your fingertips, so go get in on all your favorite teams, players, and sports. You know, so WynnBET right now has some brand new bonuses. Bet $5 to win $400 in free bets. And listen, they're still running the bet $20 on your build your own sports book or build your own bet on their sports book feature, where you can earn a chance to win a once in a lifetime experience for the big game. You and three guests get to go get a VIP experience at Shaq's Funhouse, two nights at Wynn Las Vegas, a $5,000 free bet at Wynn Las Vegas Sportsbook, and a $5,000 travel credit. So great promos, odds, and payouts are happening right now at WynnBET, from boosted parlays to live in-game odds on every major sport. We have what you need to win today. If you're ready to play, sign up and receive a special offer, a risk-free $1,000 sports bet. Bet big, win bigger with WynnBET. Download WynnBET app now or visit WynnBET.com.
Yeah, I am very much looking forward to WinBet coming live in New York. You know, take advantage of those bonuses and, you know, registration stuff. It's going to be great. So please come soon, WinBet. You know, just
at least you have at least you have options where you're at.
Tell you what, it was pretty nice this week. Pretty nice this weekend. All right. Let's go do a quick DFS report card. First one of the year. So start $10,000 range. Yeah, Justin Thomas, Hovland, Morikawa, Rahm, DeChambeau. Justin Thomas, most popular guy at 30%. And he had one hell of a weekend. Thank you very much. He did. Saved a top 10 bet that I had with a lot of juice. But you know what? Juice only matters when you lose.
You lose.
It didn't lose. So, I mean, Morikawa had a massive day today to save, you know, a couple of DFS lineups I had, save a top 10 prop, so it's fine. John Rahm, obviously. He was only 18.6%, which, I mean, it's high compared to, but it's so, you know, relatively low compared to the field. But there was only two real disappointments. Hovland, 23%. You know, I mean, there was a lot of scuttlebutt about, you know, the fact that, like, his clubs didn't come in. And there was a lot of sharps out there that, once they got wind of that, started pounding a bunch of matchups.
Yeah, because the last time that he fucking like got a lost driver or had to switch out shafts or something like that, he ended up winning the fucking
tournament. Right, but a lot of guys are taking matchups against him. And, I mean, that paid off great. I think Hovland lost every single matchup he was paired up against, like Rob and JT. Yeah, so, you know, anybody who went 5-0 with that, congratulations. I got a little birdie, tipped me a little bit to do a little, you know, a couple matchups on him, so that was nice. And then Bryson, just nothing. You know,
he got hot on the back nine today.
He did, but, I mean, 24th in DraftKings scoring.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he was the lowest one of the $10,000 guys, but, you know, hat tip to Nagel's Bagels. He has a really good theory about Bryson. Basically anytime there's undulation to a golf course, don't use Bryson. I was chatting with him on, I think, Thursday morning or no, Wednesday after I heard that take, and I complimented him for it. And it makes sense because, you know, Bryson, how much does he just beat off or beat balls out?
Yeah, I don't know how much Bryson beats off, Steve. That seems like something you might want to talk to your therapist about, not me.
All right. How much does Bryson beat balls on the driving range? Just a perfect lie or in the simulator, and it's a nice flat lie. And once you get them on, like, you know, hills and stuff, like all the calculations, they, you know, go out the window. So
no, listen, I agree.
That makes sense.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, shit, look at the shit I was texting you this weekend. I was like, I cannot get a fucking flat lie to save my goddamn life. Like, it was a nightmare. It is a nightmare. It's an, like, I when I played TPC, the Tampa, like, I at least six times I had to swing my club like a fucking baseball bat because it was on a side hill lie. And, like, I'm terrible. And, like, I can't, like, I don't even think it matters how good you are with a lie like that. Like, it's just a fucking nightmare.
Yeah. And when you're Bryson with single length irons and you have to know exactly how far I take it back, yeah, all that shit goes out the window when the ball is like 3 or 4 inches above you. So
agreed.
Yeah. So, all right. $9,000 range. I mean, there's only three guys. The guy we didn't like out of it was Patrick Cantlay. He did the best. Mm-hmm. He was fourth in drafting scoring, and he was the least popular in this range, too. I think I might have to reevaluate the Bermuda thing with him.
Maybe.
Because, I mean, look, like, he started off at minus 10 of the Tour Championship, but he still would have finished like T4 overall just without the strokes. And he played really good this week. I think it comes from the fact that, like, he just doesn't play a whole lot of Bermuda on his schedule.
Could be.
And so it might be a small sample size. And I don't know. So that might be something to revisit. Xander was, I mean, he's the most popular. He was fine.
No, he was not fine.
He finished 11th at DraftKings scoring. He was one shot off cash in the top 10.
He is officially on my no bet list again. Fucking
that hurt.
First of all, he had the eagle to even get to fucking 11th. Like, that's just true. just he is the American version of fucking Fleetwood.
Yeah, I think he hit like
Hold on.
Isn't Finau the American version of Fleetwood?
No, at least
Xander's won more.
When was the last time Xander won a no-cut event that's not the fucking Olympics?
Okay, I'm just saying Xander has won more than a lot more in Tommy Fleetwood and a lot more in Tony Finau. Come on, dude.
Dude, listen, I don't know. Like, there's something about him. I don't know. Like, listen, I respect Andy Lack. I respect Jeff Nagels. Like, I respect all these guys who like Xander. I'm just done with him. Like, if he wins a tournament, then fucking so be it. I will not be on him. I will not talk myself into him again. I listened to some of the offseason shit, and I talked myself into Xander. Nope. Fucking, that's it. I'm just done with him.
Good. I want more guys like you, so we get better odds on Xander.
Good.
Like,
go ahead.
Phoenix.
You're never gonna get better odds because there's a bunch of lemmings walking off a cliff every fucking tournament to bet him, and he never fucking wins.
Well, maybe this is the breaking point then. You know, Xander automatic Kapalua. Maybe this is enough to get steam out of him. All right, and then Sam Burns. That was really disappointing. He was in position to get a top 10, and he crapped the bed down the stretch. So this one is 8,000-hour range. Cam Smith, most popular player in DraftKings. So everyone had him. Everyone enjoyed. I like Daniel Berger a lot this week. Unfortunately, he missed a 4-footer to dead heat a top 5 for me. That sucked. That wasn't great. Whatever. Nope. It's what it is. Sung Jae, we both liked him. Finished top 10. He was good. Hideki, I thought he was going to be okay. He finished 13th. He basically did what I thought.
Yeah, he did well. He did real well.
The problem was it's a big birdie fest, and there's only so much ball striking you can do.
And he still got to what? What do you get? He gets to like 25 under.
Yeah, I know. Well, I mean, that's the one thing.
If I would have told you, if I said, hey, listen, Hideki's going to get to 25 under, you would have been like, fuck it, all day.
Well, it's only 21. But regardless, that's one thing I think, like, when you look at, like, these strokes gain numbers, like, you're going to see, like, oh, well, like, you know, Billy Horschel sucked with his irons. Well, he was 17 under on the week. How bad could it really been? It's just that he just didn't hit as close to everybody because everybody's hitting close. So, right. I don't know. I mean, like, some of these numbers are going to look ugly. Some of these numbers are going to look pretty good. They might be a little misleading because, you know, I mean, how many guys finished 20 under or better? 18. Jesus.
So gross.
Yeah, they let this place up. Spieth was bad this week.
Spieth was bad.
You know, I put down the FOMO bet on him. I think I might be right. I might be right. Did you – his pre-shot swing routine, I don't like it. I don't know what's going on with it.
I mean, so I'm the type of guy like –
I know, but this is you, though. This is you. This is not a professional golfer. Like, you're the one that like –
I don't swing. No, I don't do practice swings. That's what I'm saying. I get up and hit the ball. I don't do any practice swings. That's why I like Keegan. Not Keegan, rather. I like Matt Jones. Keegan's pre-shot routine drives me insane. Like, listen, here's what happens. I take like three. If I take three practice swings, I'll have a good one. I'm like, oh, well, there was the good swing. It's gone. Fuck that. I'm just going to get up and hit it. Like, I hit it and play. Let's go.
Okay, well, then I think that's what Spieth needs to do. Like, it looks so technical. Like, I don't like it. So I don't know if he's back or anything. I don't think he's back. Brooks
what do you mean he was back? He was great last year.
He was bad down the stretch.
I guess.
Yeah, he was bad the hero, and he was bad this week.
Okay.
All right. Answer sucked, but maybe we want to bookmark it.
Answer did suck.
Maybe bookmark him for this week though. This might be a little friendlier golf course.
I don't mind him for this week.
Yeah.
Is Kiz in the field this week?
Yeah, Kiz is also in the field. All right, there you go. All right, 7,000-hour range. No one really did all that great. The best guy here was Kevin Na, 14th.
Did you see him fucking try to walk that putt in early?
I mean, which one? He always does.
No, but he missed it.
Oh, good.
I actually meant to text you that. It was like, I don't know, it was probably like a 6 or 7 footer, and he tried to walk it in early, and he fucking missed it. He blew it by like 4 feet. I was like, oh my God, Steve would be so happy right now.
I would have been happy. Taylor Gooch was popular guy in this range. He did a little better in this. Well, he was only 21st in DraftKings scoring. So this is the guy who did better on the leaderboard than he did in real life, but whatever. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, if you skip the 7,000-hour range, you probably did okay for yourself. I mean, you got Leishman here. Patrick Reed, who everybody loved this week.
So glad I avoided him.
Day one. I mean, listen, he rallied, but cost everybody money. It didn't matter. So, all right. And then under $7,000, Seamus Power, your boy, 12th DraftKings scoring. Cam Davis, who I liked, 8th. Matt Jones, though.
Pat Jones.
Listen,
a performance,
there's no
man.
Wind.
What a performance.
There's no wind.
I don't know.
That's pretty good, though.
Dude, what a performance, man. Seriously.
Yeah.
Like,
no, it was great. Yeah. No, I mean, I that birdie on 17 there, I mean, he hung in. It was a solid performance. I was very happy for him. And Kevin Kisner was good. It was good to see Kisner do well again. Higa did okay. Everybody else did junk here. So it seemed like you just need to hit up top. You need Cam Smith because everybody had him. Skip the sevens, and then they have like Cam Davis, like Matt Jones at like 4%. So, and that's really about it. So, all right. Why don't we put that to bed, and then why don't we talk about the Sony real quick? Right. So let's start off with that. The field. So this is a full field. This is obviously a lot weaker than what the tournament championship is.
Is it?
I think 22 guys played last week are going to play this week. You know, so obviously most of the best players played last week. We're going to get a little bit, a little bit of a downstep here. But Bryson is going to be in
the
field.
He's playing.
Yeah, that's surprising. So he's played this twice. He last played in 2019, but that was pre-bulk up, though. He finished T10 that tournament. So it's interesting. Well, I'll talk about him a little bit later. But, you might not think Wailea might be a place for him, but there might be a couple of things he can do to it. So we'll see. And then other nobles in the field, he got Abe Anser, he got Sungjae, Jason Kokrak, who was a pretty abysmal last week in Tournament Champions, maybe he can rebound. Mark Leishman, Hideki, Webb Simpson, who's making his season debut, or 2021 debut, and then Cam Smith coming off the big win. So
you think he's going to play, or do you think he's going to withdraw after the win?
No, he's going to play. He's a former winner, so he probably has some obligations wants to hit on to. So. And then, another thing to watch out for is you're going to get all those Korn Ferry graduates who played the fall. You know, your Hayden Buckley's, your Chad Ramey's, all those. You know, there's a couple guys you want to keep your eye on. Maybe they could be sneaky top 20, top 10 plays this week at the Sony, because as we'll get to in a little bit, there's a lot of ways to skin a cat at Wailea. So why don't we take another break, and then I'll break down the golf course.
All right. Sounds great, man. Well, listen, PropSwap is America's marketplace to buy and sell sports bets. The NFL playoffs and college football championship are right around the corner, and PropSwap has the best odds on all your football futures. You see a ticket you like, but you think the price is too high. Submit a bid for what you think is fair, and then buy it. You can always find the best odds because you're buying directly from bettors just like yourself. Use promo code SGP on your first deposit, and PropSwap will double it up to $500. Double the cash means double the odds, and sellers all across the country list their sports bets for sale, and thousands of buyers that visit PropSwap every day to find the best odds on futures, props, and parlays. This week, Derek from Colorado purchased the Georgia College Football Championship ticket on PropSwap at -120, huge discount to the sportsbook, who are currently the Bulldogs at -150. If you're not using PropSwap, then you are missing out. So go get started today by going to PropSwap.com or download the PropSwap app. PropSwap is where America buys and sells sports bets.
All right. Let's get to Wailea Country Club. Let's break it down. So,
let's go.
So if anyone played N64 back in the day, and there was a video game.
Bond. James Bond. That's the only game for
it. Yeah, that's it's 007 Mario Kart. And that was really about it. But I forget what the name of the game is, but Wailea was the featured course on it.
Really?
So a lot of people, if you played that game, you probably know exactly what Wailea has in store for you. So
I can't remember who won a tournament 6 months ago, and you expect me to recall what a golf course looked like from N64. I mean, talking, what fucking year is it? 2022? What?
That was 25
years ago?
It's 1996. Yeah, listen, you just have to pull back a little bit on the joystick, tap A a couple times, and, you're going to put it about 5 feet from the hole. So, all right. So this is a Seth Rayner. It was built in 1926. Seth Rayner is a legendary golf course architect. He built the old white TPC, rest in peace, the Greenbrier, Chicago Golf Club, Fisher's Island Golf Club, Country Club of Charleston, which had a Women's U.S. Open a couple years ago. And he's the original designer of the Dunes course in Monterey Peninsula. That's where they had, I think it's one of the legs of the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am. So originally it was a 600-yard golf course from the championship tees. Seth Rayner, a classic architect, a lot of classic designs to this place. Since its opening, it's undergone a couple tweaks, a couple renovations. It's now over 7,000 yards. But overall, it's still kind of maintained its charm. It's a little bit of a time capsule of golf's past. It's a classic. It's a good grounding. It's a good golf course. So overall, the land, it's night and day different than Kapalua. So Kapalua it's literally on the side of a mountain. This is a dead flat piece of property. There's some movement with the greens, but that's really about it. It's pretty flat tee to green. But the routing is really good. It doesn't feel like you're going in one direction over and over. It kind of reminds me a little bit of the routing at Sedgefield, which is a Donald Ross and the old white TPC, just going crisscrossing back and forth. If the wind is up, that's going to be a big challenge just because, you're going to have to account for it hole to hole. It's not going to be the same. So, and then as mentioned earlier, Rayner took a lot of template holes and put it on this golf course. So, for example, the first hole, which I think is the toughest hole in the golf course, it's modeled after the road hole at St. Andrews. So, and they look pretty similar. They're both kind of, you know, slight dogleg right holes. There's a bunker on the right side of the fairway. It kind of acts like the hotel for like St. Andrews, but you want to play towards it because then you have a really good look at the green. If you play away from it, you know, it's a pretty wide fairway, but then you got to carry over a bunker and you might have a good angle to the green. So, you know, there's a lot of holes like that. They're basically template holes. You know, there's a lot of dog legs, not a whole lot of opportunity for most guys to carry the dog legs. So there's a lot of positional golf. You know, I mean, it's not, you know, it's not, the rough isn't overly penal, but it's Bermuda roughs. You don't really want to be there. The other template hole at this place is the 17th. That's probably the most, that's if you ever go to this tournament, that's probably where you want to camp out, is the 17th. It's right by the beach. It's completely exposed. It's a Redan hole. So if you don't know what a Redan is, it's a par three that has a right to left slope green with bunkers guarding the right. Back in 2018, it was redesigned by Tom Doak. He added a lot of movement to the green to restore it to its, you know, quote unquote true Redan nature. But it played way too firm though. Guys could not
hold the green.
Like, no, they couldn't. Like, I think JT complained. Like, he always complains.
JT always complains.
I know. So. But
by the way, absolute perfect conditions this week for him, right? Still spits the bit on Thursday, right? With the lift clean in place, goes out and shoots great over the weekend. I cannot wait to fade him in tougher conditions.
You're just mad your take kind of blew up in your face.
It did blow up in my face. Did he fucking win? No.
No, you took a victory lap on Friday, and then he was like 28 under since then. That is blowing up in your face, sir.
No, it's not.
Right. Anyways, back to this hole. So anyways, you know, over the last 3 years, though, the golf course has softened up. Or not the golf course. This hole, the 17th, has softened up. It's a lot more receptive now, but still a really hard hole, especially if the wind is up. So, but yeah, I mean, like overall, though, this is a classic. You know, this is a golf course that, you know, we'll get to a little bit later. You know, it doesn't really promote one style of play. Usually this is one of the few golf courses on the PGA Tour where, you know, the shorter, more accurate players can stand a chance.
Yep.
But yeah, I mean, like sometimes it comes down to weather. Usually this is a birdie fest. Yep. But when Cam Smith won it a couple of years ago, it was rainy. It was a little cool.
Smith won what? 2 years ago?
Yeah, that was he only won at 11 under.
Yeah, it was short, right? Yeah.
But then like Kevin Na last year went at like 22 under.
Right.
So yeah, that's usually where it is if the weather cooperates, and we'll have to see what the weather is. But I'm assuming that Honolulu probably got just as much rain as Kapalua did. Yeah. So it's probably gonna play soft, probably gonna play easy, probably gonna be a lot burst. So.
What island is this on?
This is on Oahu. This is in Honolulu.
Okay. I can text my birth mom and find out what the weather's been like. She sent me a picture of her at a tiki bar watching the Maui thing. I was like, maybe you can get me tickets next year. Let's see what's up.
So this is 75 miles away from Kapalua, but you know, okay. It's probably similar weather that they got there. So, yeah. All right, why don't we take another break, and then we will talk about betting strategies for this week.
All right. I like it. And listen, we did great night betting strategies this week and hopefully next week as well. And look, the fantasy season may be over, but the action is still coming to your Better Fantasy app. Download the free-to-play app today to bet on player props for the NFL playoffs. You can also enter their player prop pool and score big when you win. We love Better Fantasy because we can win awesome prizes and even raise some money for charity along the way, too. We do love charity bets. As a matter of fact, that's a good cue. I got to check on Steve for a charity bet we made. It's a totally free to play. You'll earn better credits by completing challenges and use them to place your bets. Better Fantasy is available worldwide and in all 50 states. So download the app today over at betterfantasy.com/SGPN. That's betterfantasy.com/SGPN.
We don't need to talk about you want it.
I'm sorry. What?
No, because your trash player played a trash team today, and he got a billion points. So
and he got he was out a week with COVID. Your guy played the whole time. So,
all right, congratulations.
Thank you. A drunken argument. What was that? Fucking like 12 weeks ago, probably.
Yeah, it was a lot closer than what you thought it was going to be, though.
Oh yeah.
Absolutely. And by the way,
guess what?
Still smashing the guillotine lead, so it didn't fucking matter.
It doesn't matter. Fuck it.
I win. I'll pay you with those winnings.
You don't pay me. You pay Wolfson's Children's Hospital. That's who you pay it to. Oh, fine. It's a charity bet.
I will. All right.
By the way, it was Antonio Gibson versus Brandon Cooks from like week I don't know, what was it, week five, week six?
Cooks was up 8 heading into this week, and then Gibson played the Giants, and like everybody does, they just smash them. You know, it's pretty easy to smash the Giants when on 3rd and 9 from your own 3, you decide to run victory formation and just give up.
Not great, Bob.
You know what? I said I wasn't going to talk about the Giants.
All right, let's move on. Let's talk about some betting strategies.
All right, let's talk about the Sony Open betting strategies. So one of the things I like to look at, I'm a big proponent of data golf, and they always have these like relative like skill set, you know, charts. It basically just takes, you know, the leaderboards of each tournament, and they break it down in like 5 categories: driving distance, driving accuracy, approach, around the green, and putting. And it basically tells you like, okay, what's been more important at the top of the leaderboard, what's been less important. And unfortunately, Wailea is the least correlated golf course on the PGA Tour, pretty much.
For real?
Yeah. Like, I mean, if anything, driving accuracy, maybe a little bit of scrambling just because there's those profiles, but like driving distance, it's a big mix. Iron play, you don't have to be a good iron player in order to do well here. Putting, you don't even have to be a good putter. Like bad putters have actually done well here. So there's a little bit of everything at this place. So it's kind of a mess. I guess, you know, if anything, this is a golf course where the shorter, more accurate players can do well here. You know, they have the ability to because it's only 7,000 yards. You know, there is a premium to hit. I mean, it's not really a premium to keep in the fairway, but it does help. Mm-hmm. You know, because this is, you know, kind of a low scoring tournament. So hitting out of the fairway too. The greens aren't as big as last week, but they're still relatively big. They're about, they average about 6,500 square feet per. It's about a little above average for PGA Tour standards. So, yeah, but I mean, just because it's a short golf course, those guys tend to do pretty well here. There are a couple notable trends that you can look at to separate the wheat from chaff. So I mentioned this earlier. So there's 22 guys who played the tournament champions last year. 8 of the last 10 Sony Open winners played the previous week.
Right.
And last year it was 7 of 9 last year. And then Kevin Na, who was awful at the tournament champions, came here and won. So maybe like a guy like Jason Kokrak. Give answer. Really bad last week.
As soon as that Kisner number drops tomorrow, I'm hammering it.
Yeah, but everybody's going to hammer it.
I don't give a fuck.
Okay. All right. So, but yeah, I mean, like that might be something where if you just want to blindly follow that, it's a pretty strong trend.
That's a very strong trend.
Take guys who played last week and just bet them next week. Yeah, go for it. As far as like stat, like trends. So last week it was a test of wedges, like under 100 yards and long irons or long approach shots. This week it's very heavily weighted to mid irons. So a lot of I put in my article, which just dropped tonight, by the way, the approach shot distribution from last year's tournament. Above average rates in shots from 125, 150, 150, 175, 175, 200. So again, like a lot of these shorter players, you know, they tend to excel with their mid irons. That's kind of why they keep themselves on tour.
But
this is a golf course for them. You're hitting a lot of mid irons in the greens. You know, part of the reason that is because there's a lot of positional golf at this place. You can't, you know, some guys can't hit over the dog legs. Talk about a guy who might be able to. So, you know, mostly you're just, all right, I'm going to hit to the middle of the dogleg, and I got like 165 in, and you got to dial those in, and then you got to be able to hit the putt. So, and then as far as like guys who tend to do well here, usually do well at places like Colonial, Sedgefield, Harbortown, Sea Island. Like I remember last year, like Kevin Na, you could draw a direct correlation to like Colonial's former winner. Sedgefield, he almost won that last year. The old white TPC Greenbrier, he's a former winner there.
Doesn't Kiz play well at all those places too?
Well, there you go. Harbortown, Sea Island, Sedgefield, Colonial, Kisner.
Dude, I'm telling you.
I mean, you can do Webb Simpson, Sedgefield, Harbortown, Sea Island. Webb's actually got, I'll get to him. He's actually got a very good track record here.
Yeah, so I just thinking about the number that they're going to hang. Where do you think they're going to hang Kiz at this week? He's going to be sub 40 to 1, right?
I think 40 is probably the number.
You think 40 is the number?
Well, okay. Actually, you know what?
Let's just,
35. Yeah, I think it's going to be 35.
Okay.
All right. So here are the top 10 players in the field this week in career strokes gained per round of Wailea. So number one, Charles Howell III.
Get out of here.
Just dominates here.
Chucky three sticks. Yeah, come on.
He gains 1.8 strokes per round on the field, 68 rounds. So big sample size.
Damn.
Yeah. Number two, this is going to make you happy. Corey Connors, 1.7 strokes per 12 rounds.
I was texting Kirshner about earlier. I was like, yo, hey, we're going to move on to the Sony. Like, let's get another winner. He's like, Connors. I was like, I love Connors. Let's go.
All right,
but I always love Connors. So for me, with guys like that, it doesn't actually mean anything because I always just like those guys.
Okay. All right. Number three, I don't remember when he played this, but this is a Corn Ferry guy. Nick Hardy, 1.67 in his only appearance. He actually played well here.
Okay.
All right. Number four, Patton Kizzire. That's mostly from his one win.
Yeah.
I think he beat James Hahn in a playoff. That was when I think the coverage got messed up because the cameraman went on strike. I think they had like two like hard cameras out there. Just and they were losing ball. It was a mess. That was a couple years ago. All right, number five. Another guy I played last week, Mark Leishman. 1.5 strokes to gain on the field in 48 rounds. Number six, Webb Simpson, 1.4 strokes gained, 43 rounds. Number seven, and this is a guy I want to talk about real quick.
Yeah.
Bryson. Mm-hmm. So top 10 in 2019. I think he finished like T40 or something in 2018. But that was pre bulk up. I don't know if concerned is the right word.
Okay.
But I'm interested because there's a golf course that he attacked that's a little similar to this place, Detroit Golf Club. Okay. Flat, classic. Okay. And he was just able to hit over the dog legs, just, you know, like, and he can plod around a little bit too, but just because of his length, he just overpowered the place.
Right.
And there's a lot of opportunities to hit over dog legs this tournament. Now, they're going to do in course out of bounds on 18. So guys don't go down, I think, the 10th fairway in order to hit the green. So he's going to have to play that hole straight.
Oh, was that the one? Was that last year? Was that the first? Was that where he was putting it on the other?
Now, JT tried to do that.
What? So I just remember Bryson going super left somewhere.
Bryson didn't. Oh, no. He tried to do the players.
The players. That was it.
Then they put the out-of-bounds. But guys were going down the left, the 10th fairway a couple years ago. And then they said, all right, we're going to do in-course out of OB. So you can't do that. But there are plenty of holes that Bryson can get over the dog legs, hit over the bunkers, and – you know, set himself up for like 125, 100-yard wedge shots all day long.
Right.
So, and, you know, a callback to what we talked about earlier in the show, Kapalu is really undulated. This is a flat golf course. Yeah. So maybe this is a golf course that, you know, Bryson could be a sneaky one-and-done pick this week. I don't think a lot of people are on him. I think they're going to think, oh, Wiley, it's a Kisner, it's a Webb Simpson. I don't want to use that. Well, maybe Bryson just goes out, just curb stomps everybody at this place.
Yeah, I don't hate it. Yeah. I don't hate it.
Number eight, Brendan Steele. He has a few good showings here. I think he lost to a playoff to Cam Smith. Number nine, Brian Stewart, who you would think would do well here. Right, accurate player, can putt. And then Chris Kirk. This was the tournament last year.
Yeah, he came in second, didn't he?
Yeah, he got his card back. He was on the medical exemption. He got his card back.
Because I think we were rooting for it, remember?
We were. So, yeah. And this started like a 15 tournament streak where I just kept betting him and he kept failing. But, you know, so overall, that's a pretty diverse list.
Yeah.
You know, you got your good ball strikers, you got your short accurate guys, you got guys who really can only putt, you got, you know, a couple guys who can't putt. So this is going to be tough, but, you know, if you just kind of follow some of the things I said this week or in this show, you know, you might do all right for yourself.
I like it. Fucking like it, man.
All right. Let me take one more break, and then we'll wrap the show up.
All right. Sounds good. Well, listen, since when did sports betting become so rigid? Sports betting is meant to be social. And when I picture betting, I picture bootleggers with mustaches tossing bets around in a speakeasy. SoBet is taking the social lineage of betting and putting a modern twist on it by providing a modern platform. SoBet is changing the game with their new product. So head over to SoBet.io and create an account to see for yourself. Through their fully functioning and free web app, you can access a demo of their app that will launch this fall now. The app includes consensus lines from Vegas, a feed on what other people are betting, and the ability to send friendly wagers to anyone you know via text, QR codes, and links, among other methods. No money is transacted on the app, and it is purely competitive. Next time you're with your friends watching sports, turn the dial up a notch and go to SoBet.io so you can hit the most ridiculous bets. Users have the ability to place bets off Vegas odds or generate a bet by changing any metric they want as long as somebody is on the other side to accept. So let's go back to the roots of betting with SoBet and go to SoBet.io/SGPN. That's SoBet.io/SGPN today to join the revolution. And listen, not only just the app, the boys over on the Mothership is what I call it, the Sports Gambling Podcast. They're doing a college football playoff where they're going to sim all the games and call them, and you can win some fucking money. So go sign up for that shit. You don't need to know anything. It's computers doing stuff. And what's more entertaining than Sean and Colby and Ryan calling games other than myself and Steve breaking down, you know, golf courses, which I find very entertaining as well.
Yeah, them doing all the Madden Sims when everybody was locked down in COVID.
It was beautiful. That was a stroke of genius.
That got us through some really tough times.
Yeah, stroke of genius, stroke of genius. Yeah. So make sure to go sign up for that shit. Go over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com and don't forget to download the SGPN app. All right, what are we closing the show with, homie?
All right, I mean, I did a lot of talking. You know, do you have, besides Kisner, do you have any initial leans or like anything you remember from last year that you want to kind of carry over this year?
So I feel like she kind of made me think a little bit when you talked about the Bryson thing with the flat lies and maybe he can just go out and dominate. I literally had not, that had not even crossed my mind until you just said it. But up until then, look, I want guys who are good with proximity with their irons, guys like Kiz, guys like Connors. You know, look, once again, it's another fun course to watch. I really thought Cam Smith wouldn't play. I don't think he'll go back to back. But I think Leishman played really well this week. I'm eyeing him for the whole season.
So here's another guy I'm eyeing who did not play well last week. Abe Anser.
Yeah. And I was I was on him this week. So like,
I mean, there's the blueprint of last year. Kevin Na didn't play well at the tournament champions, right. And he just went to the golf course to suit his game, where he just hit a lot of fairways. You know, he's a really good iron player. You know, I mean. You know, Abe Anser, I can name some good performances in Bermuda. Yeah. He won at Southwind.
Yep.
He came second to Webb Simpson in Harbortown back when that was full Bermuda.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, that was one. Like, Harbortown is usually overseeded, but the June one, that was full Bermuda, and then everybody went low there. And
dude, I forgot he came in second there. I completely forgot.
Yep. Joaquin Niemann last year, he was top five in that Harbortown, and they finished like second last year at this event. So maybe that's a leaderboard people want to draw to in order to get guys. So
like it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm hoping maybe the books are sleeping a little bit on Anser this week and then maybe a little bit of discount. He kind of like, you know, comes a little bit out of nowhere. So, cause this is definitely an Abe Anser-ish golf.
Yeah, I agree. If I'm spouting Kisner, that means Abe Anser is right there with him.
Right. So, okay.
Anything else, brother?
No, I got nothing. Starting this week, we are officially expanding. Thanks to you guys, by the way, for all your support for everything. So we are now going 3 episodes a week. Basically what we're doing, we're going to take our Tuesday show, break it up into, we're going to do DFS tomorrow to get you guys started on your lineups.
I thought we were doing betting tomorrow.
No.
Betting tomorrow.
Nope. We'll talk offline.
I'll tell you. Okay, but that's fine.
Yeah, we'll talk offline. All right, we will have 2 shows, and then we'll figure it out. How about that?
Yeah, there you go. Okay. We're breaking up the DFS and betting shows into 2 smaller sample shows, Monday and Tuesday. That way we hit your feed the first couple days of the week. And, I mean, whatever order it comes out in, it doesn't matter, right? So you'll get our takes. We'll do that. And then we're going to try to think of something for the podcast. Might just be me yelling at Twitter on the weekends, doing like a live hit on stuff to look forward to for either showdown stuff or round-to-round matchup type things. And we're trying to put up some more content for you guys because you guys have been fucking awesome. And keep spreading the word and all that good shit. Anything else, brother?
Nope, that's it.
All right, man. Well, listen, tomorrow night, tune in. DFS or betting, who knows? Well, no, we'll flip a coin. Either way, we broke them fucking books the first week of the season. We're going to keep doing it every fucking week. Let's go.